This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are on the planet. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good to be here again.
It is Wednesday, June 27th, 2012. We've made it through pretty much half the year without dying, so...
I saw a countdown today on the internet.
Oh,
yep,
yeah?
We're all going to die.
Yeah, and we're going to... I'm still planning my end-of-the-world party on December 21st.
I'm sorry, I can't make it.
Yeah, I know. You're going to be having your own. So anyway, it's good to have everybody with us tonight. We're going to be talking about how to find peace in your life. Metaphysical Universe is a program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore the human condition, science and spirituality, paranormal, all kinds of metaphysical stuff, life skills, basically help all of us live a better life, more successful life, more meaningful life, see more meaning in our lives. So that's our purpose. That's what we're talking about. And tonight our topic is how to find peace in your life. This topic is actually something that was a big issue for me at one point in my life some years ago. It was a real focal point for me. I wanted peace in my life. I didn't have it. And I wanted peace, and it became such an obsession with me that I finally got my peace. That didn't quite sound right, but you know what I'm saying.
I
found my peace, okay? And it wasn't a gun or anything to shoot anybody, you know, not that kind of peace. But the P-E-A-C-E type of peace. So,
peace of mind.
Yeah, peace of mind, peace in my life. And now I have so much of it I can't stand it, which is not really true. I love it. So tonight we're going to talk about how to find peace in your life. And toward the end, I'm going to do a guided meditation on that very topic. So stay tuned for that. Of course, we have Dr. John Hightower screening our calls tonight. So if you have a comment on this you'd like to make, we'd love to hear from you. We'd like to welcome those who are listening live tonight, as well as those tuning into the archives. We appreciate your time and your interest in this radio program. And we encourage you to tell others about it, too, so that they can tune in.
You know, we might just say that this, in all of our archive files, that people who will touch base later, this is our final show. We're taking a summer break. So when you're going back in files and you're looking for a particular day, you're not going to see anything for July, but there's loads and loads of shows in there, and we'll have loads more coming up on August 1st. So we're going to take a little summer break.
So it's not our final show. It's just our final show for a month. So, and since you brought that up, when we come back on August 1st, which is actually Wednesday, August 1st, we're going to be talking about the paranormal. We're going to be talking what it's like to be a paranormal researcher. And John Hightower is going to participate with us on that program. And also, my good friend Grant Rubendunst is also going to join us. And we'll have kind of a round table, and we'll talk about different things and how you can learn paranormal research, anomalous research, parapsychology, ufology at Metaphysics Institute. But we'll go into it and talk about some different cases, some different things, what it is, what it's not. So it should be an interesting show if you're into that kind of thing. So, and then after that, we'll be taking some weeks talking about what it means to be a spiritual counselor, life coach, hypnotist, things like that. All right, so let's get to our topic at hand. We're going to be talking about how to find peace in your life, and we're just going to have kind of an informal discussion about it. And let's just get this discussion going. If there is no peace in one's life, that usually means there's a fair amount of adversity. And we've talked about this on previous shows, too. Adversity is nothing really more or less than a state of disorder. And when you put things back in their proper order, adversity leaves and peace comes. That's the short answer. So if you're looking to have more peace in your life, the obvious approach is what's robbing your life of peace. There can be a number of different things. Some, most of them are within your control. There could be some that are not so much within your control, but it just depends too on your attitude towards them. But things that can rob one of peace are toxic relationships. It's a big one. Issues at work, having no work, having no job, that's obviously can cause some adversity and rob one of peace. But there's a number of different things, and we're going to just approach these as if they are within our control. Now, if there happens to be something that you don't feel is within your control and it's robbing you of your peace, my initial reaction is to really make sure that it's not within your control. Some things are real tough to fix, I'll grant you that, but they're still within our control. It's conceivable there could be something, and if that's the case, then the only choice we have to regain that peace is to change our attitude toward whatever it is. So for the balance of the show, I'd just like to focus on things that are common, and if you have something that's robbing you, your life of peace, and you're listening to the show live, then type it in the chat room or give us a call, and we can discuss it on the air as well. Let's talk about, I don't know, pick one. Job.
Well, hey, whatever. Listen, this is a great topic. I mean, because and peace robs is such a good coin, Doug. I mean, it's what is, you know, robbing you. But then, you know, you go back to what is peace. What is peace in yourself? And I think that there's a certain amount of acceptance that we have to have to know what peace is. Now, that, of course, we have to have self-acceptance. That's first of all, to know, to be at peace with ourselves. But mm-hmm. then there's, I think that very often, this is something that's come up in the last couple of weeks with, you know, some people I've talked to, is that we do have to leave some things in life to mystery. It is a mystery. We don't have the answers, and we have to make peace with just accepting we do not understand. Does that make sense? Like, we just can't understand some things, and that's all there is to it.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's not going to stop us from trying, by the way. But
no.
There are some things we're probably not going to understand them in our lifetime. You know, things about existence and all that. But usually when it comes to peace and regaining peace in your life, that's not something that's beyond our reach. It's something that we can find and regain. And, you know, as I talk about this, I'm struck there are so many different situations out there that could rob one of one's peace. And a lot of times we think that, wow, there's just nothing we can do about this. And that's what I want to say. That's likely not true. So Let's start with a job. That's a big one. You know, maybe you don't have a job, and so, you know, that's robbing you of your peace. Obviously, if you don't have an income, hard to pay the bills, bill collectors are calling. I mean, that's adversity if there ever was any. And so what can you do about that? Well, attitude is the first thing. Understand where you're at. Make sure that, as Vicki just said about self-acceptance, you accept yourself just as you are, perfect as you are, getting better every day, and you do what you need to do. You look for the job, you take advantage of any government assistance that's available for you to get you through it, and you keep working at it, and don't lose hope. That's a big one. Don't lose hope. And this goes. This is true for those who are really desperate, who are feeling desperate, who feel like there's no way out. That is simply a disabling belief. There's always a way out. And I don't mean, you know, by ending it. I mean there's always a solution to any problem. You just got to find it. And part of that is having the right attitude, the right mental attitude toward that. You can't give up hope. A lot of times people think, well, what's it for? You know, the futility of it all. You know, what's the point of it? You know, people are morons. They're this. They want too much. They're inconsiderate. They're this. They're that. They're the other thing. You know, happiness is where you see it. And so is negativity. It's exactly where you see it. There's a lot wrong with this planet. And if that's what you think and that's where you look, that's all you'll ever see. But there's an awful lot that's right about this planet. There's an awful lot that's right about humanity. Yeah, they can drive us all crazy, but we're part of them, aren't we, at times? But you got to look for the good in humanity. Focus on the good. Focus on the positive, the powerful. Focus on that, and that's exactly what you'll see. And then that negative stuff will fade. It's all this type of thing where you've got to have the right mental attitude. So don't lose hope, because things can change in a heartbeat. If you're out of work and you put in applications, you never know when they're going to call. It could be right now. It could be in the next hour. It could be tomorrow. But don't give up, and keep striving to regain that.
I think it's important to recognize in all of us, Doug, that we have a bad 5 minutes. You know, we're all human. And when we do have that moment of, oh, wow, this really sucks, you know, or we get into that little bit of a pit, just ride it out. Ride it out. Matter of fact, look at your clock and say, well, you know, I'm a real firm believer in time management with emotion. And if you got a bad 5 minutes, just look at the clock and say, okay, I'm going to have a bad 5 minutes. But you see the end of the 5 minutes, so you retain your hope.
Right.
And so that the hope is there.
And that's an excellent idea. We talked about that on previous shows, too. If you're discouraged, and if you're down, and if you feel like there's no hope, fine. Be that way for 5 or 10 minutes, but put your time limit on it. And then feel it for all it's worth. You know, cry your tears, you know, vent. You know, put your face in a pillow and scream, whatever, you know, whatever you got to do. Feel
Call
it for
Doug
all
Kelly.
It's worth. No.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. The 1-800 Dr. Doug, and that's not a real phone number, by the way. Anyway, but feel it. Feel it for that 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it is. Feel it for all it's worth. This same goes with grief. You know, if you've lost someone that you care about, even a pet, feel it for all it's worth. Cry your tears, vent, whatever, and then release it. Let it go. And every time you repeat that, it has less energy to adversely affect you. So that's true with the job situation. Now, what if you've got a job, but your boss is not the greatest of leaders? You've got coworkers who are giving you issues. Well, there are techniques for that too, and this is such a wide open. You know, it's a big question. What exactly is the problem? Is somebody picking on you? Is somebody not doing their job? There's so many things that can happen at work. If it's your boss that's the problem, then I'll share with you the 3 L's. This is something I picked up along the way. Don't know for sure who originated these 3 L's, but they're good. Anytime you're in a situation that is tough, you have 3 choices called the 3 L's. You can either lobby for change, which means, well, just do that. Try to get change things. Lobby for change, live with it, or leave. Those are your 3 choices, and I'll reorder them. Live with it, lobby for change, or leave. Now, if it's a problem with your boss, obviously you want to lobby for change. That means go talk to your boss. You know, make sure your ducks in a row, make sure you know what you're talking about, make sure you're not part of the problem. And it just depends on the nature of things. If you need to go above your boss, you can do that. If you feel it's necessary and you've got cause, do it. Whatever it takes to get that peace back. If it's something that is just not really that big of a deal and it's a preference type matter, then just live with it. And that brings us to, you know, whenever you're faced with something, if it's a principle, then stand firm. If it's a principle, policy, or law, stand firm. If it's a matter of preference, just yield. It's not worth putting that energy into. So live with it, lobby for change, and then, of course, the 3rd choice is to leave. Well, I don't have any place else to go. Well, that's part of the leaving process. You got to find a place.
You know, I might just add in here, Doug, that I think it's important we all challenge ourselves to think differently and find new strategies and not just lobby it for a change from one perspective, but what can I do differently? And I think we can find new peace in ourselves to know that we're thinking and trying different things, and kind of it's only when you're at your last game, you know, well, I can't think of anything else, that we say, okay, you know, I've got other things, other options. But I always try to do my best to strategize the kind of people I'm managing or interacting with, you know, what an expectation is, am I doing my job? So I think that, you know, it's a good place to start is what kind of strategy can I use to get along better and, you know, live up to my own potential and then hopefully interact well with others. So that's just something else to throw in there.
Well, and that also gets me thinking that if you think about it, there's professions that are in the business of helping people regain their peace, right? We call it psychology, psychologists, counselors, therapists, spiritual counselors, life coaches. There's people who essentially do that, and that's what we're trying to do tonight. That's what we try to do every night, or every week, I should say, on this program, is to help you find your peace. And speaking of that, we do have a caller on the line and with a question. Dee, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi.
Hi, do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I do need peace in my life, but my question is more about, because it will help me get peace in my life, actually. The situation that I'm in right now, how do I explain it briefly enough? I've got this situation where I could wind up having to move, whether not by choice. And I feel like at this point that where things are headed, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's underhanded. It doesn't, you know, like there's something, you know, what's wrong with this picture, shall we say? And I don't really know what to think because I know the other day, because of, I have a caseworker, unfortunately, but and she showed up with an application for me to fill out for an apartment place, which I really didn't want to do, and eventually I gave in. She filled it out. I signed it. But after she left, I got this vision because I'm, among other things, I'm a clairvoyant, and I saw the paperwork getting ripped up. Now, I know enough to know that I don't trust too many people in this whole messy situation, which involves my town and the three selectmen. So I don't know whether, because I did see her, but I don't know whether she ripped it up or somebody else did. I only trust her so far.
All right, so let's back up for a second, Dee. What is your specific question?
My specific question is, I guess I'm trying to figure out what's really going on here, and are people real, you know, because I'm getting the impression that the things are, there's some underhanded stuff going on here.
Vicki, do you have any insight that you want to offer at all?
Well, you know, your instinct is probably right to some degree, but I would just caution you a little bit with when you throw emotion into it, it can cause anxiety. So a good strategy in a time like this, I think, is to sit down with a piece of paper and go through some of your fears that could be interfering with your intuition or your instinct, and then look at the facts, another column where there's facts of events. And then what possible strategies can you come up with to manage the situation as well as you can? My sense is you're probably on it, but how much of it is real? Because, do you know what I mean? Like, emotions can inflame things. So what do you hope to achieve through the process? That's my favorite question, always when you approach a strategy. What do you hope to achieve? What do you want for yourself? What's the outcome here? Is moving maybe something that's really good for you, but it's like the way it's happening, it's kind of got you steamed up a little bit.
I don't think it's the best thing for me.
Well, is there a strategy for you to stay where you're living? And that's what you can do by, you know, kind of writing out your columns, you know, and try to sort it out. And then who can you best, who would be your ally? And so that you retain this, you know, your self-control. And when you have that self-management, our intuitions, like our little flashes can come through. Obviously, you've had, you know, and you're accustomed to it. But these little flashes get distorted if we're fearful.
Nice.
So that's just a caution to you there.
Right, that's why I'm questioning, because I couldn't be certain if what I was seeing was accurate or if I was seeing it because I'm upset.
Well, my feeling
that was
is
that's my thing.
Well, the ripped up could be symbolic of discarded. Just because you saw it ripped up doesn't mean it is ripped up. It's kind of the way a message can come through to say this is going to be, it's going to be discarded, it's going to be overlooked, it's not going to be given the attention it deserves. So is there a follow-up phone call that you can make?
Oh, I'd be glad if that application just found its way into the ethers. I'd be more than happy. I didn't fill it out because I wanted to fill it out.
Well,
absolutely
were you kind of having a wishing thought that seemed to be like an intuitive experience? Because sometimes our wishes can get imposed too.
Because I didn't even think about it. It was just after she had left, and I think I was talking with a friend of mine, a fellow light worker, and realizing that I was really, pardon my French, pissed at myself for thinking I allowed this to happen. And I told my friend what I had seen. It was just what I saw, that I saw the paperwork being ripped in half, all of it, because there were two other pieces of paper that I had signed. And I know that I saw my caseworker, but I wasn't sure about that, because I wasn't going to, I certainly can't say, well, she ripped it up or who ripped it up. And I realized that could be symbolic, and I hadn't thought of it in quite that way before. I was looking at it more literally, but you make a good, valid point.
Yeah.
Because I would prefer that it wasn't. I would prefer that it was all overlooked, because I know there's a lot of things that have been going on that aren't right, and they're still not right. My gut instinct is that, and I know enough to trust my gut. I was given the best piece of advice when I first realized about myself by a fellow medium who told me, always go with your first impression, never your second or your third, and never second-guess yourself.
Good advice.
Yeah, it was the best advice I think I'd ever been given in my life, because I didn't wake up until shortly before I turned 50 because I shut off when I was little, and then things started to come out, and I looked at them from the view of what the Bible says about your young men shall see visions and all that. I'd been raised Christian. I was married to a minister, and suddenly things started to happen, I didn't realize what it was, and then somebody wised me up, like, of course you knew this. No, I didn't have a clue who and what I was, and now I know enough to go with my gut, even when I'm upset. Sometimes when I'm upset, I think that's when my gut really kicks in and tells me.
Well, I think even by talking about it, I hear a change in your tone, and I'm feeling that your energy has just shifted a little bit, and this is part of what we were talking about earlier. Sometimes it's just a matter of venting it a little bit or releasing it, and now I'm really going to suggest sit down with your list, and make your little columns and work through it and find a strategy. How would you like to move forward that you at least feel like you have some capabilities in the directorship of the energy, but be very clear about what you want to project for. But thanks for calling.
Of course.
It's a great discussion.
Thank you.
All right, and that's this type of a problem. They're so common in our lives, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We just never. I mean, they can be all kinds of things, and it's a matter of finding your peace. Well, if there's something that changes your life, it can rob us of our peace. But again, we have to make sure, number one, is this a good or bad thing? A lot of times when change comes around, we hate change, so we're automatically thinking, oh, my life's going to be disrupted. But we really got to make sure that this change is not a good thing before we say, oh, our peace has been robbed. Change is a good thing. Usually, it can be a very productive thing. There's often that silver lining in the clouds. So we got to make sure that our attitude is on target here.
And that we stay in balance.
Yeah.
It's really important to stay in balance. Recognize emotion for what it is, because, boy, emotion can do all our thinking for us.
Oh, yeah, and we don't want that. So make sure that whatever is going on is truly something that, I mean, we might think it's robbing us of our peace, but it might not really have any energy of its own. So many times, our problems are really not problems. They're only problems because we think they're problems. In other words, our problems only have the energy that we give to them. So make sure you're not infusing your problems with energy, and then they'll evaporate in many cases. And then, of course, your peace will be restored. I'm just trying to think. There were so many thoughts I had on this prior to the show.
Well, you know, one of the things I think that is a good peace robber is waiting. You know, the waiting, and we get anxious waiting. You know, when everything has its own time or we want something to happen, you know, and the waiting, and then we get off balance. And then, you know, the mind has too much time and space to conjure up thoughts that, you know, further, you know, just propels kind of negativity or fears. So I think waiting, you know, look, in relationships, is he going to call me, you know, is she going to call me? Does she want me to call her, you know, or waiting for somebody to come home or waiting in the lineup at the movie or waiting in traffic. It can really, you know, like waiting to hear about that job, the waiting that can, it's find things. This is what I suggest. Find other places to put your mind.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, Zig Ziglar is always one of my favorite motivational speakers. And he talked about changing the channel on things. You know, it's like, you know, when you're watching, and he used this as an example, when you're watching TV and something comes on that it's really not something you want to watch, not positive. If you just turn the TV off, what are you thinking about? Well, you're thinking about what you just last saw. Instead, it's better to change the channel. Put your mind on something different, something positive, something that's not the same. And that will help you to have a place to put your energy, as Vicki said. And speaking of that, you can always do these micro meditations too. Vicki, you were talking about that before the show.
Boy, I tell you, I love micro meditations. It's a survival mechanism for me. I don't know. I just started doing it years ago, and you know, I built it in kind of as a skill for myself. I'm in the process of packing to move right now, and sometimes things can become overwhelming. So I am truly micro meditating. You know, I tackle 5 minutes at a time sometimes. You know, I say, okay, here's a project. It's like everything's just too big, right? So I tackle a project and I go and I get a cup of tea and I sit and I empty my thoughts for a moment and I, you know, I think of other things. And once everything in me and my thoughts and my emotions and even my body, because I need that rest for a moment, once it lines up, oh, I have space for new thoughts. Oh, okay, now I can tackle what's next. And what's next just comes to me. I don't even really have to think about it. And as soon as it comes to me, okay, I'm up and I go. And so it's just taking that moment just to let things line up in yourself. Because, you know, you can get physical exhaustion, mental exhaustion, emotional exhaustion. And I'm very, very sensitive to that. And through skill, you know, and over time, I've just learned that not to let myself get out of balance so I don't wear out. And also, I'm less likely to injure myself, which, boy, I'm just a bull. I'm a bull in a china shop. And sure enough, you know, if I don't think about it and I stay in the moment, there's something that's going to happen. So we kind of know about those things, hey, Doug? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So staying in that moment, finding just you know, sometimes it only has to be 2 or 3 minutes sometimes. Catch your breath and just sit in that empty space. Think of something nice, something else. You know, I have lots of little tricks in my mind. I'll think about my granddaughter, my grandson. I'll think about, you know, geez, where I was with the dogs. Anything that brings that peace to the center and I can breathe. Mm-hmm. And it makes a huge difference in momentum and endurance. Seeing it through.
And speaking of breathing, breathe, you know, take deep breaths and just breathe. Let your spirit breathe. And one of the best anti-peace robber techniques out there, don't take yourself too seriously. A lot of times that's what robs us of our peace is us, ourselves, taking ourselves too seriously. And I'll tell you, I'll be the first to tell you that when the pain becomes less than the pain of change becomes less than the pain of staying the same, we will change. A lot of times the universe is trying to nudge us in a direction, or our subconscious, our higher selves, are trying to tell us something here. We need to go a new direction here. And we resist it. We fight it tooth and nail, you know, kicking and screaming. We need to just stop, do a timeout. You know, what's so bad about this new direction? Is it really a problem to move to a new place? And it might be, but it might not be too. So is this something that's worthy of my energy? You've heard the phrase, pick your battles. Well, this is the same thing here too. When life throws stuff at you, you have to be stalwart. You have to be a brick wall. You've got to say, nothing robs me of my peace unless I allow it to. And that's true. And I mean, I can cite to you Viktor Frankl and Auschwitz. You know, he was there. And he talked about that, you know, how the meaning in life can really help us. Could be almost a catch-all, if you will, for these different things. It's our attitude. It's our approach. It's our belief system. So if you want peace in your life, it's there for the having. But we have to learn how to receive it. We have to learn how to nurture it and not let anyone take it. Somebody says something mean to you at work or at the grocery store or whatever. Well, if our first instinct is to get all ticked off, well, who's robbing us of our peace? They are. Who's letting them? We are. And so finding your peace has a lot to do with us. And it first starts with us. Don't let anybody rob you of your peace. Here's another illustration I used to use, and I know I've talked about it, but it's what I call don't catch the ball. You know, it's responding versus reacting. And it's like anytime somebody tosses like a ball at you, what's our instinctive reaction? It's to catch it, right? It's just instinctive. When we react, that's reacting, by the way. When we react, it's without thinking. It's something we do instinctively. Responding, on the other hand, is something we do after thinking about it. Reacting is necessary when there's a life or death situation. You know, you're going to walk across the street and truck's coming, you get out of the way, you know, react. That's reaction. You got to do that to save your life. But most things in life really involve responding. And so if you think about it, when somebody tosses you something that you don't really want, instead of instinctively catching it, let it bounce off. When we catch it, we take ownership of it. Is that something you want to own? Well, if it is, catch it. But if it's not, let it bounce off. This is a big deal. And here's the bottom line of this. Don't catch the ball. Why not? Because you don't have to. Just because somebody tosses something at you does not mean you automatically have to catch it. Well, what will they think of me? I don't really care what they will think of you. What you think of me is none of my business. If it's not something you want to take ownership of, then don't catch it. That means don't invest energy in it. Because when we catch it, we take ownership. Do you want to own it? I doubt it. So don't take ownership of someone else's stuff. If it's their stuff, it's their stuff. If it's your stuff, it's your stuff.
Well, and this really becomes evident in relationships, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Big time in relationships. You know, if somebody's had a bad mood or they've got issues and it's projected onto the partner and then the partner takes on those issues, that's probably the single number one, I think, error. We all have made them at some point, is stay who you are and know what belongs to you and what isn't yours.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What you're saying, it's huge. Big one. Hey, I'm not catching that ball because that's not mine.
Right. And don't take ownership of that stuff. So if you're in a relationship that's like that, just because they lash out does not mean you have to respond that way or react that way. It's not your stuff. So don't own it. It's real simple in concept. But our emotions can come into play, and that's what you've got to get control of, because they will rob you of your peace quicker than anything, you know, negative emotions. So make sure that you are who you are, and never forget that nobody is more worthy of your own best behavior than you are. So be who you are, first and foremost, for you, not for everyone else, but everyone else will reap that benefit too, because you are who you are for you. You are that way for you. You treat people decently, not because of them, but because of, first and foremost, you. That's just who you are. You treat people decently. When somebody assumes something about you and says something nasty or negative or whatever, wow, if it's derogatory, they obviously just don't know you, right? So you say, gee, they obviously just don't know me, because if they knew me, you know, to know me is to love me, so they obviously don't know me. You know, it's not my stuff, it's their stuff. Don't react. Respond. If they say something, you can always respond with something like, when you call me names, I feel hurt. Can I ask you to not call me names again? And then you shut up and wait for them their response. Well, if you wouldn't be such a moron, I wouldn't have to call you names. I'm going to ask you again. Will you stop calling me names? Yes or no? And you shut up. And if they say no, say fair enough. And what they have now done is define that relationship, and your only recourse is to leave that relationship. If it's at work, you may have some other choices. You know, you might be able to file a complaint, whatever. But you need to maintain your own integrity, your own self-discipline, your own peace, your own calm. Don't let anybody rob you of that.
I think one of the things that interferes in staying still and true to yourself is the need to feel special or the need to win somebody over. But, if they just get to know me, so you're proving to them that if they knew you, they'd love you and they wouldn't say that. Well, we know that doesn't work because right. They have already defined who they are. But the need to feel special or the I am special and they need to prove it,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is huge. Peace robber, huge peace robber in my mind.
Yeah, you don't need to prove yourself to anybody. You just need to be who you are, and that is somebody who is complete within themselves, who does no harm, and who does right. Just doing that, I mean, if you just apply the skills from the Life Leadership Paragon, it's going to lead to a ton of peace in your life. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, those create self-completeness. Know who you are, why you are who you are. Be complete within yourself. Don't, quote, need anybody else for your happiness, for your contentment, to complete you. We hear all that, oh, you complete me. No. That sounds good in a song, but it's not true in real life. You
a
know,
country song.
Could be, I don't know. But, you know, we complete ourselves. That's the whole point of MCHS Church, is you don't need somebody outside of yourself to complete you. That's why we don't do God. That's why we do ourselves, you know, our higher self. We have everything within us. Doesn't mean you can't ask for advice, as I've said so many times, but ultimately the answers are within you, and you need to determine those answers. If it feels good, then bring it on in. If it makes sense to you, bring it on into your core values. As I often say, throw it against the wall. If it sticks, great. You know, if it's part of who you want to be, then emulate that. These techniques, these nuggets that you hear on this program, if it makes sense, then make it part of who you are and practice it. Practice it. And don't be too down on yourself if you don't get it right off the bat. Keep practicing. You know, do no harm, do right.
You know, when we talk about change and relationships and such, I think the number one reason people may not want to follow your advice and what you've just said, Doug, is that they can't imagine their life without that other individual in it. You know, it's that, oh, I can't imagine what my life would be without him or without her. And there's this kind of a mental block, you know, an emotional mental block that happens that for a minute anyway, until you finally go deep within yourself and say, you know what, I am me, I am okay, I am enough to build my life and to have a life, and I live my life. And then it's whoever is on the outside that either adds to it or they do not. But that's a huge belief system shift that, you know, we have all, I think, in our lifetime have had to make, and many are making that right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that you have no existence without that other individual, you know, you have automatically lost your peace.
Yeah,
you've
lost yourself. Yeah.
And you just don't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you have peace there when you're sharing a life, but if you're questioning yourself, well, you know, your peace is gone. And the only way to get that peace back is know that you have brought yourself to this moment, and you'll bring yourself to the next 5 minutes, the next hour, the next days, and you'll do what's right for you, knowing who ought to be in your life and not who supports you in your peace.
And to translate that into something I've said before, that simply means taking your power back. You got to take that's the absolute panacea for everything that ails one in life. And I'm not kidding you. You take your power back, reclaim your own self, reclaim your identity. We've talked about this. People talk about being possessed by spirits and all that. People are absolutely possessed on this planet, just not by spirits, or possessed by other people. And you got to
belief system.
Yeah, it is. You got to possess yourself. I am possessed by myself. That's good. Don't be possessed by anybody else. You know, be who you are and be complete within yourself and not need another person. That also reminds me of the two most important relationship questions. You know, what do I add to this relationship? What do I subtract? What does the other person add? What do they subtract? Anytime somebody takes more from a relationship than they give, and they're unwilling to change, the relationship is over with, and I don't care who it's with. And I mean, I don't care who it's with. So a lot of times these relationships can rob us of our peace simply because one or both people are trying to control the other. And that violates the law of control. You cannot change somebody. You cannot control another person. Stop trying. You can have a positive influence on other people, but you cannot change them. So stop trying. That means not giving unsolicited advice to other adults, too. All of these things that we've talked about tonight combine, apply, you know, whatever fits you, and it will help you to regain your peace. We've got about a little over 15 minutes left, and I wanted to do a guided meditation on this topic, too, for the next 10 or 12 minutes. So, Vicki, anything else you wanted to throw in there before we do that?
No, I would just like to say that John Hightower has made a comment in the chat room. He can see himself standing on the street corner teaching the Enchiridion.
Oh my God.
And which I hope is coming along fine, Doug. And just for people who don't know what the Enchiridion is, it is the booklet that is being composed by Dr. Doug Kelly that represents, it's a papered representation of MCHS Church. So, you know, it's just basically, well, you take it from here, Doug, you know.
Yeah, the Enchiridion, it means handbook, and it basically will contain the principles of belief and expanded life skills, which are the beliefs of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. It's a work in progress. It's started, and once it gets to a reasonable point, I'm going to publish it at mchs.church.org. And then I'll just continue to update it as it evolves and grows over the coming months and so forth. I'll announce that when it will be available on the website. But it will be an expanded version of our principles of belief. And I appreciate that comment, John. Of course, the part about standing on the street corner makes me want to run screaming based on my past.
As long as he doesn't have his hat.
And no door knocking, dude.
And okay. No sign with the MCHS.
Yeah.
You know, because we're likely going to exit from the meditation into closing the show, I would like to say that it's been a wonderful season, a wonderful year, and we've gone just about, you know, more than a year now on our shows before we take this little four-week break. And I want to thank everybody, and I hope everybody comes back again August 1, and of course we'll be ready for another season and another year of MCHS Church. We're not going anywhere, folks. We're here with you step by step, you know, all the way. So thanks, Doug Kelly.
Well, thank you. And we'll have time for some closing remarks, too. It's just that we're going to be off planet for the next month, so we won't be able to do the show.
I certainly are. I think I'm going to visit the home world.
Yeah, really. The mothership is a-coming. Okay, anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to do this a guided meditation here. And so I'd like you to just get comfortable. you know, get your body comfortable, whatever that means for you. If you're sitting in a chair, then sit comfortably. If you're laying, then lay comfortably. I want you to take a nice, deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it to the mental count of three, and just let it out slowly. Just breathe. I want you to focus on the waves. In a moment, the music will start. Just let it carry you away. It's all right. You know, it feels so good to just relax for a moment. Just let that peace filter in. It's kind of neat. This is your time, your moment. Nobody wants anything. Nobody asking for anything. Just your time. And it feels so nice to relax. Take another deep breath. In through your nose. Hold on to it for a moment. And let it out. And as you breathe out, just feel your body relax even further. Focus on the waves, on the music, and my voice. Let your mind wander. It's all right. Perfectly safe. Everything's just fine. Want you to imagine now a beautiful, bright light burning just above your head. This represents your higher self. We'll call it your soul light. This is the light of your essence, the light of your being, and it exists in a time that is outside of this time, of this space. It's always there. It's who you are. Your light, burning brightly. And I want you to see these beams of light emanating from this beautiful light. Beams radiating out into the cosmos, out into the universe, connecting with everything there is, with all life, with everyone else, just as their beams of light connect with yours. We are all part of one cosmos, one consciousness, a collective, and yet we retain our unique identity. Focus on that light. See how pure it is. How beautiful it is. And I want you now in your mind, in your imagination, I want you to reach up and I want you to draw that light right on down into your body, to the middle part of your body. And just see it radiating its light, its strength, its peace, to every region of your body. Feel it. It's all right. See it. That beautiful light in whatever color is meaningful to you. It's filling up your body with this beautiful light from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. In fact, it's even going down into the ground to keep you grounded. Feel it now. Feel the tingle. This light radiating through every cell of your body, nurturing, healing, calming, relaxing. I want you to see this light in all its color. See it healing your body, energizing your soul. And I want you to feel that tingle. And when you feel it, I want you to understand that this is who you are. This is your energy. This is your peace. Feel it. And just as you experience this energy, I want you to feel a little smile coming on your face, knowing that you can experience this peace anytime you choose. All you have to do is close your eyes, take a deep breath, and repeat to yourself, peaceful place, peaceful place. And you will instantly be transported to this peaceful place, and this peaceful place will energize you, will restore your energy, will restore your peace, will relax you, will calm you. Feel it now as you take another deep breath and feel the rhythm of your breathing. Focus on the waves. Feel the magic of the person that you are. And as you see this yourself in your mind's eye, this body with this beautiful light radiating inside, knowing that this is you, this is the depth of your being, this is a beautiful, pure thing, that you are perfect in every way and getting better every day, knowing that you are enough, that everything you need is within you, all the answers are there, you just have to look and they will come to you when they are needed. Look inside of this beautiful energetic body and know that your peace is also here, and that you can have this peace anytime you want by simply closing your eyes, taking a deep breath and saying, peaceful place, peaceful place. And instantly you will be calm. You will feel this incredible sense of peace, and you will love every minute of it, because who you are is a beautiful person. Who you are is a powerful person, and you have much to give, greatness to deliver. And I want you to focus on the greatness that you have to deliver. I want you to identify it, and I want you to be about it, delivering that greatness to the world, that peace of who you are. Focus on the music, on the waves, and I want you to experience this peace for a moment. Feel yourself being taken away, becoming one with the universe, even as you are always one with the universe. Sometimes we just forget, but it's now time to remember that you are a part of all that is. We are all a part of each other. We look at the beauty of the human race, of all life, all sentient life in this universe, every type of life. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful planet. What a beautiful world. What a beautiful life we have. We just have to see it. And we do see it. We see it in ourselves, in our loved ones, in our life, and we insist, yes, demand on that peace within our lives every day, every hour, every minute. That peace is yours. Seize it. Take it. It's all right. It feels so good to just allow that peace to happen. Now, as the music begins to fade, I want you to see that soul light within you resuming its rightful place just above your head, always a part of you, always there to strengthen you and encourage you. And as you come back to full waking awareness, you understand that you are a perfect person and getting better every day. Your peace is there all the time. You just have to seize it. And any time you want to feel this peaceful feeling, you simply close your eyes, take a deep breath, and repeat, peaceful place, and it will be there for you. Now I want you to open your eyes, come back to waking awareness, feeling good, exhilarated, and just absolutely fantastic, better than you've ever felt, knowing that there is always hope, and you'll never lose that hope, never at all. Welcome back. Well, hopefully that little guided meditation was meaningful for you and beneficial. Just know that we're with you. You know, we've all been there, done that. We've all faced those tough times, the adversity. And if you're facing that adversity, know it will pass. It definitely will. Never lose hope. Never lose yourself. Are you back with me, Vicki?
Oh, I'm here, Doug. Thank you very much for that meditation. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Glad you enjoyed it. And so, as we said at the outset of this program, that when we come back on August 1st, we're going to talk about what it means to be a paranormal researcher. And Dr. John Hightower is going to participate with us on that or in that program, as well as my good friend Grant Ruben Duns, who is part of Paranexus. And we go back a few years and we've had a few investigations, so he'll be with us to talk about that too. And of course, Vicki will give her part and we'll all have a nice discussion. If you'd like to learn more about metaphysics, please visit us at metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you like what you're hearing, please tell others about us. Go ahead, Vicki.
I just wanted to say goodnight, everybody. I look forward to August 1st.
Me as well. It's nice to have everybody. We really appreciate you, those of you who are tuning in every week, whether live or at the archive. Means a lot. And don't forget us. We'll be back in a month. Have a great week. We'll let the music take us out. Good night, everyone. Mm-hmm.